Happy Saturday. It's August 5th, and I'm Kimberly Johnson, and here with me is my partner.
Steph Walton.
Steph Walton. Sorry, I talked over you.
I got excited there for a sec.
I know, it's been an exciting week. We have some things to be excited about.
Some things. And then we have like, and then there's the sheer terror that's just always an underlying sort of, it's like, don't get too excited, everybody.
Yeah.
You know, my husband and I went out to dinner with some people last night. One of them is a delegate from our great state of California. And we were talking, you know, we hadn't seen him in a while. So we went, like, exchanged pleasantries, got caught up, got a couple of F-bombs out of the way, and then went straight to politics.
Yeah.
And you know, all the stuff, Kimberly, that you and I are back and forth on Twitter with each other via text, via these podcasts, you know, we have a lot to be happy about.
Yeah.
And then there's that underlying sort of dread that, you know, is sort of, okay, so we've got Mueller, we've got Miller. Yes, please make Miller comms director, and I'm sure we're going to get back to all of this. Yeah. We've got the leaked transcripts. I mean, like,
well, this we've is... also got Schneiderman, and so that,
and
that's
all, and we've got Schneiderman.
Yeah,
and all of this comes up, and we're all like that monkey with the cymbals, like clapping at the dinner table last night over everything, and then my buddy, the delegate, goes, "Yeah, but we don't got shit." Mm-hmm. If he's impeached before the midterms, and if we don't flip enough seats and take back Congress at the midterms, we're hosed. And then I just went, like the boner that just like lost all of its gusto. Like I almost slumped down in the seat.
But I don't understand what was his reasoning for, because I'm not, I've always taken a different stance. What is his reasoning for if he gets impeached before the midterms?
If he gets impeached before the midterms, his belief is that the Democrats will never take back Congress.
But why?
Because he thinks we need the shit show, the dumpster fire. I'd love to spend a little time today coming up with new names to call this administration. But he believes the only way we're going to win in 2018, and by we, obviously I'm talking Democrats, is if Trump is still in office.
I don't agree with that.
Well, it scared me because I see where he's coming from. We need this glaring hideousness to continue for as long as possible. Like he said, do you believe he's going to be impeached? And I said, absolutely. I believe he's going to be impeached because there are crimes all over the place. And the Republicans are going to jump from the Titanic the minute Schneiderman goes to town, the minute Mueller proves that all this crap that we're hearing about is actually true. I mean, grand jury, like there's some stuff that's wrong and it's going to come out. But if it happens too soon, my delegate buddy was saying he thinks that we need to have him in office so that, that you know, the remaining 33% who still support him take, you know, go the other direction or don't show up to vote for the Republican. So, you know, I thought it was a good topic of discussion. Tell me why you're not worried about that.
Well, I'm not going to say I'm not worried. I just, I mean, I'm worried no matter what happens, but I'm not exactly sure that to me, that doesn't necessarily make sense because, Mike Pence is his own. Okay. Like we've got the danger of Donald Trump and we all know what that means. There's war with North Korea. There's Russian agents being installed into our Russian government. Into our Russian government. There you go. That's exactly what it is. into our
Freud.
Government.
Calling God for Freud.
And, you know, there's actually an article in The Atlantic, which I when I asked for subjects to talk about, Darius Smith, who likes to listen to our podcast, suggested that we do Trump has quietly accomplished more than it appears. And so we may or may not get to all of the things in here, but just going down the line, you know, there's EPA, There's so many different things that they've been able to accomplish. All we hear about is they've been accomplishing nothing, but they actually have been accomplishing, things with the travel ban. They've been able to accomplish quite a bit. But but my point is, there's a certain danger that Trump only brings. You know, there's no other, I mean, unless you're getting another compromised, Russian agent as POTUS, Trump is unique. But then mm-hmm. the other side of that is Mike Pence is an evangelical extremist.
Correct.
Who is going to be his own nightmare. And,
yes.
You know, he was not a popular, not popular even in Indiana, in red Indiana. And so I think that while he might kind of appear to be normal, he is kind of normal, the normal Republican we're used to, in comparison to Trump, it's going to be such a monumental nightmare. And I also think that specifically with Pence, he is such a danger to women and women's
yes.
rights that once if he becomes president, I think women in this country are going to freak the fuck out.
Yeah, no,
I mean,
I'm with you 1,000%.
Even more than they're freaking out with Trump.
Yep.
So, and then also getting a president impeached before a midterm election sends the GOP into hell. I mean, they're not coming from a strong standpoint. You know what I mean? They're weakened. They're embarrassed that up until just very recently they've been trying to support him. So I think that and also I don't know if you saw, I can't remember the exact number, but on Rachel Maddow a couple of weeks ago, she talked about, you know, the people running. Okay, so let's say in 2009, you had, I think it was, and it was a significant number of Tea Party Republicans running for the midterms. And when you saw the graph, 78 was a large number in comparison to years prior.
Right. So, no. I saw this graph. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So then you cut two this year. It's like 209 Democrats
yes.
are running.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
So
okay.
Go ahead.
No, I'm with you, but I don't want to lose sight of this Pence thing because we'll go down a path, you and I, and there's so much to be
yeah.
outraged about that I don't want to lose sight of this Pence thing. So here's what happens. We flip the 24 seats we need to flip in 2018 or take back, right? And then if Trump is out, whether it's before or after the 2018 midterms, if we have control of Congress, then Pence is a non-issue.
Yeah.
But if we don't take back those seats,
yeah.
like you just said, we are so much more fucked with Pence as president. And I mean, to even say that makes the hair stand up on my head.
Mm-hmm.
Because as it is, we women, I'm talking you and me, babe, we're looking at our own party representatives turning against our rights and our quest for equality with these anti-choice bullshit Democrats. And if the Democratic Party as a whole gets behind people who don't believe in equality, in an equal wage for women and a woman's right to choose, then I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to be in a couple of street fights and it's going to be real fast.
Well, you know what really fucking pisses me off is that there are so many splainers out there trying to explain to me and to all the women how, oh, you just don't understand because we need people to reflect the people, you know, the voters in districts. Well, to a degree, that is true. And that's exactly how Democrats took back the House in 2006. But I'd like to say, A, we're in different times, and B, it's fine to run as a, if you want to call yourself a pro-life Democrat, that's great. Be a pro-life Democrat, just like Tim Kaine is, just like Joe Biden is.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those men recognize that for their own choices and their own, you know, prerogative, they don't like abortion.
Mm-hmm.
But they will vote for reproductive justice. And on top of it, it's about the economy. That is the number one issue everybody
Absolutely.
Has. And reproductive rights and reproductive justice, all whatever you want to call it, it all boils down to a more robust economy. And I'd just like to point out that the Democrats spent, the DCCC spent more than $1 million on Jim Justice to win in very, very, very red West Virginia. He became governor in 2016, And what has he done? He's just flipped over to the Republicans. So this notion that we have to back these conservadems, if you will, I'm not saying we have to, you know, go for the most progressive possible candidate in the world and only settle. I mean, I think it's a good idea to get Christian Democrats to, you know, if you want to be pro-life, be pro-life. You can talk about your pro-life stance and talk about, you know, in order to keep abortions at a minimum, what we need to do is we need to make sure people are educated. We need to make sure, contraception is available, blah, 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 all the talking points. And always turn it back into how it's going to benefit the economy. Mm-hmm. Because you're always going to have, you know, the lunatics that are just going to refuse to bend on abortion. And we cannot allow them to dictate how this country goes.
Correct.
I am so sick and tired. I am like, I swear to God, I'm like so on my soapbox. You know, the whole fucking world is against Donald Trump. There is this tiny minority who supports him in the grand scheme of the global population. Yet they are the ones right now who are controlling basically, I'm not going to say the world. It's not like America is in charge of the world or anything like that. But our economy and our country is we need to be stable, or the rest of, you know, of the globe suffers.
Yeah.
If we go down, other economies go down. It's just not going to be good for anybody on the planet. So
I think the rest of the globe is already suffering, because I think so many countries, world leaders. I mean, thank God for Angela Merkel. Thank God for Macron. Oh, thank God for people like Trudeau, who are strong and who will sort of stand up, but they can't
affect
the change that we can.
Right, exactly.
And yeah. And so we're hosed. But, you know, you look at these douchebags like Jim Justice, and, you know, of course it comes out that he got paid off by the Russians.
Yeah.
Of course, that's why. I mean, and is he hiding the money in his chin, in his neck? Like, what's going on? And I'm sorry, that's not cool, but I couldn't resist.
Yeah. Fuck those men.
I know. You know, the whole thing about it does, you're not bringing up a bullshit point. You're bringing up a very valid point about keeping abortion safe and legal and accessible, and having it be the choice of the person who wants to have it does benefit the economy.
Yeah.
When women get out there, you know, I'm in a job where I am, it's me and it's men, and I'm as good, if not better, than any man who does what I do. Mm-hmm. And it has nothing to do with my body parts. It has everything to do with just my will and my determination. And that's the case for you. That's the case for our mothers. That'll be the case for my daughter and any other woman that puts herself in the workforce. It has to be about equality. It has to be about, you know, then we go off into the, you know, Kamala Harris and Maxine Waters talking all week about pay the black woman what she's worth. Just be, you know, I'm so tired of people of color not making the money that white folks are making. It's just so wrong. And there's so much work that needs to be done. And these setbacks that are happening and you know, on Trump's watch with lunatics, he stands up in front of a bunch of banjo players in West Virginia and talks about limiting. you know, that's always one of my goals, right? to get the off mic tackle. But anyway, you know what I'm talking about. It's like, why does there need to be, it's a purity test.
Yeah.
It's, you know, so Did any of our relatives that came through Ellis Island, I'm sorry, my great grandfather who came here from Italy didn't speak a lick, and he came and immediately worked three jobs and raised a family and became a contributing member of this American society because it was a gift to him to be here. And when I read about the El Salvadoran soccer players who came here in 2009, yeah. who became, they're not criminals. They're getting into college. They're working. They're contributing to this society. They're amazing members of society. Why does ICE send them home to the most dangerous place on earth, El Salvador?
Yeah.
Like, what the hell is going on?
Well,
with
you know,
this country?
I mean, bringing this back to the whole anti-choice Democratic candidate funding thing. This is what I have to say. What if? Whatever the guy whose name escapes me, who, you know, said we have to, you know, include them. Okay, fine. So why don't we just also fund Democrats who don't believe blacks should vote? Why don't we also just fund Democrats who don't believe transgender people should be in the military? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's basically, why is it women?
You're 100% right. That's a great point. And that's got to be a talking point for all of us from now on, because you open the door a crack to make one exception, and then it's suddenly it's wide open.
But it's always fucking women. You know, I mean, first of all, I think that when I say people of color, I'm including everybody. I'm including everybody. I mean, I know that some people have a problem with people of color, but I don't necessarily want to say minorities. But you know, black people, Hispanic people, people of color definitely get, I think, have it worse, for sure, than white women. But, you know, women of color probably have it worse than anybody. But it's always fucking women who have to bear the fucking brunt. And we're expected to give it up. And I'm so tired of that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, no one's asking black. I mean, look, black people are getting shot by fucking crazy ass police who are not trained properly. Transgender people experience such discrimination.
Brutality.
And it's like fucking horrible. It's horrible what they go through. And granted, there's women experience domestic violence. Women are, you know, get killed by domestic abusers. So, you know, we all have something we're all dealing with something horrible when it comes to these groups. But in the end, when the party that's supposed to be supporting us and representing us is like, well, fuck off. We don't really, you know, we're going to take your issue that's extremely important to the whole nation, the nation's economy, and we're going to say, oh, well, we'll fold on that. It's like, oh my God, the anger, I can't even like make a point because I get so angry inside.
You're making a great point.
And I'm so sick and tired of men explaining it to me, and even women explaining it to me that, oh, well, you know, you just need to shut the fuck up about this because A, B, C, and D. It's like, no, you know what? You start putting your money behind these people and they're going to vote vote for anti-choice, whether legislation from the Republicans, they're going to diminish women's rights in this country, and that is going to hurt the economy.
Right.
Ugh.
Yeah. No. Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
Angry.
And you know, I'm not going to say I'm sick of having to work harder to prove myself. I'm not. That makes me a better person because I'll kick your ass any day, Buster. If you think seriously, because I'm used to it. Because I'm used to being brown. And I'm used to being a woman.
Yeah.
And I've had all sorts. We've talked about this before, Kimberly. But you know, who did she blow to get that promotion? I've heard it all.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care. I know what I did. anyway, I think that what this means is we're not. You know, this fight that we have, this outrage that we have, it's not. This isn't going to subside anytime soon.
Yeah.
And we are going to have to be loud and be ready to just do, you know, get in here and bitch every other Saturday or whenever it happens to be and put it out there. And you know what I was thinking about the other day? The Why We Resist Challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Like that has stood the test of time. And I want to bring that back out because you know what we're talking about, Kimberly, when we said, you know, however many months ago we put those videos up. We are going to resist you, Donald Trump, until they drag your ass out of office.
Yeah.
And we have continued to stand by those words. And, you know, we're going to continue to do that maybe for at least another year. And then we're just going to focus it on Pence, because when we take back Congress, that's going to be the next thing, is going to just be to cock block him until 2020. But then therein lies another issue, is 2020. And what are we going to do, and who are we going to put forward, and is there a strong candidate, and is there somebody that we can agree on, and are the Bernie bros going to continue to try to undermine and divide the Democratic Party?
I think the Democratic Party just needs to let go of that whole sect and focus on bringing new voters into the party, because this is the perfect time to do it. You've got half the population who didn't vote in 2016, and they're watching what's happening. So many of these people are young people, and they're watching what's happening, and they're freaking out, and they understand more and more every day that, I don't remember the number of people who didn't vote, but let's just say it was 60 million people or 120 million people, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Even if the Democrats could get a quarter of those people, I wish that I could say that I see them doing more as far as marketing. I mean, I don't think it's that difficult to figure out. You know, I mean, remember back in the olden days when we were young, MTV had the whole MTV voting, campaign thing going on. I can't remember what they called it, but I think they teamed up with Rock. It was Rock the Vote.
Yeah.
And so you would have like Madonna and Bon Jovi and whatever, and they would do ads on MTV encouraging young people to vote. And in fact, MTV, I think broke tradition and Bill Clinton came on. Well, maybe not their tradition, but tradition of, the candidate specifically went to a young venue and took questions from people who were like in their early 20s.
Right.
And
right.
Granted he was great with them, but, so what? I mean, anybody needs to, look at Bernie, who I'm not thrilled with, but, who I was supporting, but now I'm not thrilled with him, but he understands, young people loved him. They just loved him. So, and he figured out that they loved him, and then he talked to them. But I think, and what Bernie knows how to do really well is take a group of Trump voters and have them screaming for single payer. Mm-hmm. So I think we need, Democrats need to take a hard ass look. And, I'll say this, there's also that woman whose name is escaping me now, and I'm going to have to find it. Is it Amy Myers? Is that the one? It's that fighter pilot, Marine woman. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Amy McGrath. She's my new Randy Bryce.
Yeah, so you've got people like Randy Bryce, you've got this Amy McGrath, and they are just regular people who have decided they've had enough. And I think that, maybe the DCCC and the DNC are maybe helping them out and backing them and maybe even hand chose them. I don't know. But I think they're doing a good job there. But what I'm not seeing at this point, and I know it's not an election year and a general election, but I think we need to start it now, is that outreach to people who just don't vote. Whether it's young voters or the people who were never engaged before, but now they're starting to wake up. Forget the fucking bros.
Right.
Because all they want to do is argue. I don't care what candidate you put up, they're going to find a flaw. And this whole argument of, they're beholden to their donors. Well, right now, that's the system we have.
Yeah.
So we have to work. We have to vote in Democrats who, I would say we should support the Democrats who are saying, I'm going to work to overturn Citizens United.
Mm-hmm. Or I'm going to work to make sure that everybody in this country has access to healthcare.
Well, yeah, but I think the idea, if you want to win over the Bernie people, part of that is getting rid of Citizens United.
That's true.
Granted, no one likes it, but that's something that they are constantly talking about, and I agree with them.
That has to be on the list of musts.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right.
I mean, healthcare and the economy is something they should always focus on. But in order to get money out of politics, corporate money out of politics, that has to go. But it's not like right now we can just all be, they can't all be Bernie. They can't, not every candidate has the charisma of Randy Bryce or Bernie. Mm-hmm. Some people are just, like for instance, look at Hillary Clinton. She's admitted she's not a natural politician. Her strength is in the work. Mm-hmm. You know, she doesn't have that that charisma that gets it. You know, I mean, of course, she had millions and millions of people who really wanted her to be president, who understood what she had to offer, but it didn't come from her. Like, there, you know, Bernie has this. He's great for social media because he's like doesn't give a shit about his hair. He's he looks like the common man. He knows how to talk plain and plain in that. When I say plain, I mean, it's like he's not hard to understand. He's not wonky.
No, not at all.
And even though he is smart, he understands how to speak to the people in a way that they respond to, just like Donald Trump has been able to do with his fan base. Mm-hmm. So, but Hillary didn't necessarily have that gift. Her gift is the work. And she's so fucking wonky and smart, you know, but it's like, so since, you know, we don't know who that candidate is going to be, at this point in the game, they need the money. They need it because we're fighting, you know, the Koch brothers' money and we're fighting the Russians and we're fighting evangelicals. We can't just go in there with nothing.
We are, you know what? We're fighting the Russians.
I know. Not only are we fighting the fucking GOP, we're fighting the Russians.
Right, right. So one of the other topics of conversation at the dinner table last night was let's go and help flip. I think there are 7 districts that can be flipped, like 7 right here in California. It might even be higher. Hmm. And so we're going to load ourselves into our cars and we're going to go help flip some of that shit. Because if we can do it here in California and Randy Bryce is getting some traction and Amy McGrath, I mean, did you see her? I think she was on Lawrence the other night. Yeah. And, you know, she was a little deer in the headlights for that first interview, but she's going to get, she is going to be fine. She is very smart. She knows exactly what she's talking about. Obviously very determined when, you know, as a child, she wrote to Congress and said, I want to be a fighter pilot. Yeah. I want to land planes on aircraft carriers. And they told her to piss off.
Yeah. Just like NASA told Hillary Clinton to piss off.
Right, right. So, you know, this is what women can do. Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, I'm ready to get in. I'm going to find out who I got to help flip, and I'm going to work to flip them.
One thing I would like to just quickly say about Amy McGrath's deer in the headlights thing, I think that it's important to note that just like with Randy Bryce, even though they need training and they need to understand how to be more polished on television and all of that, I think it's so fucking awesome. And I give them so much credit for just being citizens who are fed up with what's happening in this country. And they're like, you know, they were not... 18 saying, oh, I'm going to get into government. You know, that's my goal. Maybe Amy McGrath might have thought, you know, but I mean, in the end, what I think is happening is you're seeing a lot of Democrats wake up and say, you know what, in order to change the system, I need to actually get involved.
Absolutely.
And so they're not polished.
No, and that, I love like that you, they're not.
Yeah,
I love
like you
it.
Said, it'll come in time. Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. Because real people, you know, that's the appeal of these folks is that they've lived lives. They've had successful careers. They're upstanding members of their communities. And now they're saying, guess what? That makes me qualified to help lead and to be, you know, to represent this constituency. And so I think it's totally awesome. I want to get behind them. I love them all. I'm a little curious to see, you know, it's, so the campaigns for 2018 are going to start any minute now. Mm-hmm. And that means shortly after, or I guess, when do people declare for, you know,
for the midterms? Oh, it started, I think, didn't Trump announce in June of 2015?
Mm-hmm.
I think it was June of 2015.
So it was a year and a half of mayhem with him.
Yeah.
So I guess we have a while to wait.
Yeah, I mean, right now we just have to we have to focus on the midterms, which are extremely important because obviously, as we've learned right now, watching this whole healthcare debate, it's all about Congress. You know, I mean, granted, the president has all kinds of power, but Congress is extremely powerful, and the and Congress needs, you know, is able to keep checks. And you know what? Just to switch over with this whole Congress thing, they are starting to turn on him, and this is thrilling.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know. You know, my I was talking to a friend of mine who suggested that maybe this turn kind of started with John McCain's, you know, hands down on the healthcare vote. And I don't, you know, I mean, did it start there? I don't know. But I think that that certainly helped everybody else in Congress feel a little bit stronger in uniting against Trump. And they all recognize that, you know, he's just going to throw him under the bus no matter what happens, unless, you know, they do exactly what he wants. Right. He's going to throw him under the bus. So we're starting to see people slow. I mean, Jeff Flake from Arizona.
Yeah.
Like, who would have thunk, you know?
I know.
There he goes. And, you know, and then recently there was an article that came out in the Dallas News, but I got to say, Scott Dworkin on Twitter has been calling this for some time. But Dallas News yesterday came out with a piece just suggesting that GOP is getting Russian money. Now, if you're following a lot of people on Twitter, like Claude or Louise Mensch, they've been saying this for some time. And right. Scott Dworkin has been saying it.
Right.
I definitely want to give him credit because you know, it takes a while for mainstream media to catch up to these unconfirmed, you know, I don't know, rumors or whatever you want to call them. But so, you know, and that definitely has something to do with why some Republicans are scared to turn on Trump, because if they've accepted Russian money, who knows how many of them may or may not be compromised, what kind of dirt is on them that they're afraid to, you know, speak out publicly. But what we do know is not every single GOPer is compromised. Not every single Republican is guilty, and they are fed up with this guy. I think they hate him.
Yeah.
He's hateable. I mean, I would. I mean, it's like, what if Trump won as a Democrat and started pulling this crap on the Democrats?
Oh, we'd have turned. First of all, there's no way. That's inconceivable.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, you know, what if he did that? I don't think Democratic representatives would be all so happy to support him. So I think that Republicans don't like him. I mean, God, you look at Ted Cruz, you know, out on the campaign trail, Trump was saying that his father was in cahoots with killing who was it? John Kennedy?
JFK.
Yeah. And
then he called his wife ugly.
Yes. And then of course, stupid Cruz turns around and like licks his ass. But, you know, he does not like Trump. Not at all.
Yeah, but what does that say about a person? Like, if someone said one shitty thing about my husband,
yeah, that'd be it.
It's over.
Yeah,
it's over. I don't care.
Or that if your father helped kill JFK.
Right. Oh yeah. Let's be reminded of that. Yeah. Come on, Trump. Here's the thing. I believe, you know, he's gonna go down. He's going to, and I'm going to paraphrase something that Claude wrote the other day. He's going to die old and alone in a jail cell.
Yeah.
And I believe cold.
Well, and you know, I just like to throw in there that part of that is probably because of Schneiderman. You know, because he, Trump can't pardon himself or anybody for state crimes. So the Schneiderman case, and let's just go on what we know for absolute for sure, is that he's looking into money or dealings with Trump and taking money from foreign, you know, Russia. So that's evident. And then when we go into the unconfirmed rumors that, you know, because Claude Taylor has got a source now who is giving him information on the Schneiderman investigation.
Right.
And so according to these rumors, it's about money laundering and sex trafficking.
Right, so, through Trump Models Agency.
Right. So those, you know, I mean, if he's found guilty of this stuff and you know, evidently it's not just Trump. They're also investigating the three kids, Ivanka and Don Jr. and Eric. They're, you know, supposedly they're all guilty of some kind of crime, you know, whether it's money laundering, whatever it is, they're whatever they, and we know they are. We know that they've been dealing with the Russian government for some time, you know, and they've admitted it. They say they get money from Russians. So the sons do. So it doesn't matter. I mean, I wanted to go down in the history books that, you know, Trump colluded. If he colluded for sure, you know, I mean, I don't have the proof, but I hope that there is proof. I hope that it comes out. And then it goes down. He goes down in history. I don't care if he goes to jail for that, as long as he goes to jail for something.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and he will.
Yeah.
How about just because I was thinking about if I could go to Claude or to you, somebody that's got a shit ton of followers on Twitter, and say, let's start a list of all the suspect shit that we've got on Trump. You know, I mean, you know, all the things that it's almost like we'd have to make a list and it would take hours upon hours,
right,
and stuff would come to us for days.
Yeah.
But, you know, let's not forget that Peter Smith, the man that was working to gather negative information on Hillary,
yeah,
during the campaign, who went to the Wall Street Journal and said, oh, yeah, hey, I was working with Flynn and the rest of the crew to gather damaging information on Hillary Clinton during the campaign. And then he kills himself.
Yeah.
Like, that's one.
Right.
So let's not forget for a second that Robert Mueller is aware of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I mean, for us,
that's one thing.
Peter Smith sounds like 5 years ago.
I know it. That's why I wanted to kind of bring back some of the greatest hits.
Yeah.
And start it. You know, you should start something like that on your Twitter feed. Like, hey, everybody, let's just,
right,
think of all this, because that would be fun. And the stuff that people would add in,
yes,
and then elaborate on, you know, we've got Stephen Miller, this piece of human shit,
oh my God,
who talks about how sick and tired, I think he was a college student, when he's bitching and yelling into a microphone,
yeah,
that why should he have to pick up his trash when there are janitors who are being paid to pick up after him? That guy, who talked the way he talked to Jim Acosta,
yeah,
in the press briefing room. Who is that person? Bring him on. Put him in. Because that's going to be fun. And I'm going to be on a diet of popcorn and the Heimlich maneuver. Because that shit is going to be amazing to watch.
Yeah.
Okay? We've got the leaked transcripts. Like, here's a man. Was there ever one leak in 8 years in the Obama administration?
Yeah, I don't think that there was any leaks, or at least that I can remember. Do you?
I don't remember any of them. But, you know, I was so and am still so in love with that man that, you know, he was. And the reason I think I and so many others revere him and are so in love with him is because he is to be admired.
Yeah.
He is the most sincere, just, straight up dude that I think we've ever had, at least in my lifetime. You know, not a single controversy.
No drama Obama.
Yeah. And that wife, I mean, Michelle, my God, these people, you know, just looking yesterday on Obama's birthday and seeing all the beautiful photos that were put up on Twitter. And, you know, there was one that of him at his 43rd birthday with the two little girls, were just so cute looking,
yeah,
on, helping to blow out the candles. And you just can't help but love these people,
yeah,
and everything that they stand for. And then the pictures of him and Joe Biden and, yeah, like, Eric Holder. There's a picture of Eric Holder and Obama with the Capitol building in the background. And I'm like, that to me, that's an era that we got to live through.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to get a grip of what's going on right now because we know how good it can be.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so I want to talk to you about, and, you know, I want to fantasize. I'm excited about Mueller. I'm excited about Schneiderman. I'm excited about Claude Taylor and Scott Dworkin and you guys and you know, your mom. Oh, my God. Your mom brought tears to my eyes. She wrote the most beautiful open letter to Donald Trump. I think it was last Thursday.
Yeah.
About Luis Valdez, this kid,
yes,
that came to the United States as a 16-year-old no English, came here illegally. Under Reagan, he got amnesty and he became a United States citizen, and he worked his way up through the freaking fields of Sonoma. Mm-hmm. And owns the Valdez Winery, and he's a friend of your mom's. And your mom, if Donald Trump, I had to tweet to Donald Trump, hey, Donald Trump, at real Donald Trump, you should get someone to read this to you, because this is America. And then bravo, Ms. Warner.
You should get someone to read this to
you. I didn't get any likes. I didn't get my mother likes. I'm so pissed. But you should get someone to read this to you, because you're so stupid, obviously. You need somebody to read it to
you.
Yeah,
but he won't care, because Putin is the one.
No, of course. Of course he won't.
It's all about Putin.
But see, it's these it's these stories that make me, you know, it's people like your mom who have the balls and also the ability to put something like that on paper in such an eloquent way, and to inspire me to, you know, to stand up for the Luis Valdezes and these other folks that maybe aren't as loudmouthed and bold. And so, you know, you look at the Maxine Waters of the world, right? And Auntie Maxine isn't standing for any shit.
Yeah, you know, she. I remember when she came out of that meeting, and I don't remember what it was, January or February, whatever. When when the Democrats got to see what was going on, and they can't tell us, right? I mean, I think the other day she basically said Mueller's going to win, and and I think she said that because she must have seen some kind of proof, or she. I just remember her being so angry when she found out what was actually going on. So God only knows what they actually have on him.
What do they know? And how do they keep it? You know, that's why I think that's what I'm glad you bring that up, because you just articulated what I'm trying to get across, which is they know shit. And that's why they're so excited.
Yeah.
When Auntie Maxine sits across from Chris Hayes last night and she goes, oh, Mueller's going to win.
Yeah.
He's going to win. And she also thinks, she's like, I'm not just stopping with Trump, man. I'm going to impeach Pence's ass, too.
Yeah, see, that's so the thing. It's like,
no shit on him. There's shit on him, too.
That's the one of the things about Pence that people forget. You know, I mean, first of all, I keep seeing people saying, hey, now, slow down, because then we're going to get Pence. And it's like, well, really, it's not in our hands. I mean, unless everybody in America goes and you know, starts protesting in front of the White House, it's going to unfold the way it's going to unfold.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, there's resistance and all of that. But right now, I mean, back in the, you know, in the Watergate scandal, there were literally people outside in front of the White House. I don't know that there are now, but it's certainly not crowds and crowds and crowds. And of course, everybody's afraid that they would be arrested by Jeff Sessions.
Right.
But in the end, it's going to play out the way it's going to play out. We have to brace ourselves for our Pence presidency.
I'm going to abort that as quick as I possibly can.
But I mean, we have to brace ourselves for this, and you know, and understand because people are saying, "Oh, we don't want him. He's more dangerous than Trump." Well, he's a different kind of dangerous than Trump.
Yeah.
He's not necessarily going to be beholden to Putin. But he
knows how to play the game, which makes him equally dangerous, different kind of dangerous. Like
I mean,
you said.
The thing that scares me the most about Pence is healthcare. I get nervous thinking that he might be able to. Although I will say this, Trump definitely didn't do his job as a president in this whole healthcare fiasco
or anything.
Yeah. But I think one of the biggest reasons Republicans lost was because of the American people standing up. I mean, these people who were in wheelchairs, was it ADAPT? I think, you know, people in wheelchairs, which I want to just give a big fat shout out to Rod Stewart, because he funded some of these disabled people who were unable to afford plane tickets. He funded them.
Hold on. Wake up, Maggie. I think I got something to say to you, Rod Stewart.
Yes. Yeah,
no way. Where have I been?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a huge story. I didn't see it everywhere, but I did see that, you know, certain people who were disabled were able to fly to the Capitol because he paid for it. So
wow.
Yeah. So love him for that. And you know, I mean, it's the people who made that happen. the constituents. You know, I mean, thank God for Murkowski, thank God for Collins, and thank God I certainly criticized McCain. I was so angry when he allowed that vote to go through.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I do think that he, I think part of his vote, not the whole reason, but part of it was also because he hates Donald Trump. Look what Donald Trump said about him in the, you know, right. during campaign season.
So, I like people who weren't captured.
Yeah. He was horrible. So, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, and I was pissed off at McCain because I thought, okay, well, you kept, something going that, could have just been stopped. I think Bob wants to say something.
Bob, yeah. Hi.
Hello. I was just.
I think Bob wants to talk about penises.
Oh, you guys, let's do talk. Can we?
I do.
This is our paid for version.
You know, well, this is a breaking news. Eric Bowling has been suspended from Fox News.
Oh, ha ha ha!
His dick
because
pics.
His makeup covered wang made its way around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I'd like to just say about this. Frankly, I don't give a shit about dick pics. But you know, like it's not that I'm looking at them from pure tentacle point of view. I think that, you know, when you're, let's say, interested in someone and you guys are having fun and you want to send pictures on your phone, that there's nothing wrong with that, but
oh,
don't send
not.
It to freaking unsolicited
please
dick
send
pics.
It to me.
But please, you know, don't send unsolicited dick pics to your fucking, to people
female
you work
colleagues.
With. Yeah. God, I just,
I'm gonna saw that post. Sorry, go ahead, Paul.
I was just gonna say I'm gonna spend the rest of my Saturday sending Kimberly dick pics.
Please, please, Kimberly. I'm not gonna ask you to forward those to me. But tell me one thing, Kimberly.
Okay.
And Bob, did you guys the minute that story hit the news, did you immediately go to Google Images and say Eric Bowling dick pic?
Guilty.
Yay! Nothing came up. I imagine it's kind of stout and short.
It's you know what it is? It's filled with Botox.
Yeah.
If it's anything like his face, Eric Bowling's a notorious Botox victim.
And a cap tooth pile of shit.
Oh my God. That you know, we're gonna have to start wrapping up this part of the show and heading on over to end another thing. But before we do, I just want to say that if you want to support the show, we would be really grateful. And you can do it for $1 a month. That's $12 a year. Surely anybody can afford $12 a year if you like our show. And then if you pledge $5 a month, then you're going to get the end another thing, which we're going to continue our conversations. And then beyond that, you know, we're an indie show. So if you want to, you could like pledge $5 million a month, then we'd be so happy.
Oh my gosh, it would be great. And then
no,
you know
but any amount,
do?
Any amount.
We would take that money and we would overturn Citizens United.
Yeah. So, you know, anybody out there who just wants to give us $5 million a month, we're totally open.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. So, thanks for listening. We're just going to keep talking about some of the crazy shit that's going on when we go into end another thing.
Yep.
So, anyway, thanks, Stephanie. See you
Thank
over
you,
on
honey.
The other side.
Yes.